Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Bead Dreamer Jewelry, handcrafted artisan jewelry, earrings, necklaces, and bracelets reflecting your unique style. Learn more at thebeaddreamer.com. Well, according to a report released this month by the Kauffman Foundation for Entrepreneurship, 340 out of every 100,000 adults launched a new business each month during 2010, representing the highest level of new business launches in 15 years. Calling this a trend of, quote, jobless entrepreneurship, the report shares many interesting statistics about who is starting businesses in America today. I am excited about this new data. After all, this show is all about helping business owners be successful. But if so many people, I call them consumer business owners, are launching new businesses because they are being forced to instead of because they want to, what will become of these new ventures in just a few years? Only time will tell, but we'll be here to provide whatever help we can, including guests like the one we have with us here today. His name is John Bradbury, and he is the owner of Ready Founder, where he helps business owners go from passionate to prepared. John is a graduate of Davidson College and also earned a master's degree in psychology from the University of Richmond. He joins us today from his offices in Charlotte, North Carolina, to discuss some of the tips in his new book entitled Six Secrets to Startup Success, How to Turn Your Entrepreneurial Passion into a Thriving Business. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Donna. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, John, I'd like to get started by sort of reflecting on what an amazingly small world this is. You and I came across each other at a networking meeting last year, and I got something from your publicist a few days ago, you know, suggesting that you be a guest on the show, and here we are. And as I was reading through her summary, I thought, you know, this man sounds familiar. I feel like I know him. And lo and behold, what happened?
It is a small world.
It is.
And Pamela Slim, who I think you also interviewed last year.
That's right.
Fantastic person was the one of the common themes there, or threads that brought us together.
Right. It's so amazing how, you know, people talk about looking for, you know, returns on investment in terms of being involved in social media and things, and all this came about because of Twitter. And I, for me, this is a big, fat return on my investment of going to that networking meeting and meeting Pam and meeting you and finding out that we're here in Charlotte together and we have some of the same interests. So it's just so wonderful to be able to share that and let listeners know there is no shortage of ways to connect with people and do fun things as you grow your business. So, John, you know, your book is just fantastic. And, you know, there are so many small business books on the market today. So I want to ask you this. What is different about yours? What does this one add to this robust conversation about being successful as an entrepreneur today?
Well, thank you, first of all, for your feedback. And, you know, I think probably the most notable thing about my book, and it's not necessarily obvious in the title, is that, you know, the core premise of this book is that passion, entrepreneurial passion, is a double-edged sword. Meaning that obviously it's critical to an entrepreneur because, you know, building a vibrant, healthy business over time is difficult and it has its ups and downs. There are going to be long days, sometimes even longer nights, and it requires a lot of stamina and perseverance and commitment and faith. So, you know, passion is a wonderful thing. At the same time, as I looked at and have observed over the years entrepreneurs and ventures that have succeeded and failed, and ask myself, what's different? What differentiates the successes from those who don't make it to where they want to be? You know what I found is that passion often actually gets in the way, in the sense that they're when someone becomes emotionally attached to an idea, or in essence falls in love with a business concept, there's a whole host of biases and negative or destructive behaviors that can come from that in terms of rose-colored planning or underestimating what's really required to get a business off the ground. And so this
maybe no planning at all.
Or no planning at all. It's amazing. And in fact, in the entrepreneurial literature, there's almost a culture of just do it now. And I'm not knocking. I'm pretty impulsive myself. Mm-hmm. I'm a classic entrepreneur in terms of the shiny object syndrome, and I tend to see opportunities everywhere I look, as many entrepreneurial types do. But, I've also found that, the right amount of planning, the right amount of preparation makes all the difference. So in the book, really, it's an exploration of the two sides of passion. What's great about entrepreneurial enthusiasm, and how can it get you in trouble or actually limit your success?
Right. It almost sneaks up on some people that they become so engaged emotionally in their business that they can't pull themselves out of it. So let's talk about what our listeners who may be totally passionate about something, they're just getting started, just wrapping mm-hmm. their arms around what it is they're going to have to be doing, John. What sorts of things from a mindset perspective can you share with them to help them put this kind of passion into perspective and really just curb it and discipline it?
Great question. I'd say there are three big, fundamentals that for me I call them universals, actually, because I may be wrong, but I believe that they are inherent in the process of business. And the first is that, the core driver of your business's success is going to be you. So get as honest as you possibly can with yourself about where your strengths lie, where you're not as strong or as skilled or as experienced, and match those up against what your business is going to require from you, and do what you need to do to compensate or to fill in the gaps and put yourself in a role where you can really play to your strengths and not spend a lot of time, running uphill in terms of trying to do things that you're not naturally suited for.
Okay, and, so we first want to make sure we get honest with ourselves. And I want to share something, if you would comment on this. I was talking someone that I was working with just the other day, and one of the things we were talking about as we sort of walk her through and help her through this planning process is the fact that she's a mother of young children, and she mm-hmm. is perhaps necessarily limited in terms of what she can do with her business right now based mm-hmm. on her child care. And so she was kind of comparing herself, John, to other women in her age group who either don't have children or their children are grown. She's looking at their success and thinking sort of, comparing not just the product produced and the market, but their own situations to her situation. Is that one way that we can sort of get honest with ourselves and set goals that we can actually achieve as opposed to sort of running uphill after goals that we want but just don't have
yep.
the resources
that's,
right now?
That's a great example. This concept, I call it founder readiness, and it's the idea of, taking that full look at why you're doing it, what you bring to the table, and what kinds of relationships and resources and situational factors you're dealing with. And I think that's a big factor that many entrepreneurs I deal with underestimate is what kind of alignment does your family or your personal support system have with your entrepreneurial goals. And if you are not clear about that, or if you underestimate the impact on your family of what you're trying to do as an entrepreneur, and vice versa, it can really create a high stress, very difficult situation, And
or,
we've
or
all
high,
probably
or,
dealt
or
with
higher
it.
Stress, right, John?
Exactly. And so I think it's wise to, first of all, get clear about what you want, why you're doing this, and not necessarily use as a measurement stick, you know, those who are in very different phases of their lives or their careers.
Really good point. It's always so dangerous to compare ourselves to others in that way. So, and I always like to say, if mom or dad has a business, then everybody in the family has a business. So this is a really good reminder of that. So once we've gotten honest with ourselves, John, in this regard, what do we do next?
Well, the next piece for me, from my perspective, Donna Maria, is grounding your business in the marketplace. And so you used the word mindset earlier, which I think is a great word. And for me, it's this idea of, I work with entrepreneurs to help them develop what we call a market orientation, which is essentially the idea of allowing the marketplace to shape your business over time rather than the opposite of that, which is creating something that you think is great, and then you're a product in search of a market.
That's really insightful. Don't be a product in search of a market. Do it the other way around. So you're actually allowing the market to tell you what to do.
Right. You know, no market, no business is the basic principle there. And serial entrepreneurs who have had many, many successful businesses, often, you know, well, they'll tell you, we've had a lot of bad products. We've had a lot of failed launches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so not every product idea is going to make it, and that's okay because you can experiment your way to success as long as you're open to, you know, really orienting yourself so that you're shaping your business from the outside in. And there's a paradox there, right? Passion is an inner phenomenon. It's something I carry with me inside, but I need to allow the marketplace to actually shape my business over time. So, you know, there are a whole set of tools and ideas about how you can do that. But from a mindset perspective, I think that's one of the things that entrepreneurial passion sometimes gets in the way of, is the ability to understand that just because I'm passionate about something doesn't mean that my clients or customers will be.
And that's such a good statement, you know, and I love that you said that, because I really like to be, you know, hard-hitting and honest here. I hate to see people waste their time, and one of the things that I see, as you just talked about, is that passion and that personal. I'll give you just an example and ask for your insights on this based on what you just said. You know, picking a name for a business is such a personal thing.
Mm.
People name it after their children or their dog or, you know, some incident that happened in their lives that makes them feel good and sort of, you know, promotes the image that they want their products and services to offer. And then when they find out the name is not available as a domain name or the name is not available from a trademark perspective, they totally can't get away from that. It's like the passion for the name takes over, and there's no mindset that, okay, well, and I like to say, I'd rather you have a successful business using a name you don't like than to have no business using a name that you love.
And that's insightful.
An example of how the passion can get in the way. So, you know, let's take off those rose-colored glasses for people. A lot of people need to hear what you're saying, John. It's not about your passion. It's about, if you want to be in business, making a profit.
That's right. That's right. And I actually believe that there's a way to do both. You know, that you can do what you love, but not fall in love with your business, if that makes sense.
Wow, this is so good. Do what you love, but don't fall in love with what you do?
Yes. You know, it's because you.
Did we just make that up? That was really good.
You know, I think it came to me in a dream last night.
Yeah.
But it's you're successful in your business, Donna Maria, and so I think your example is probably a great one for all of us. You have, as I've kind of watched you from afar grow your business, my impression is that you have iterated and experimented and responded and been agile and learned over time, right?
Yes, and you've seen all the things that, that haven't worked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
It's never-ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, and many of us, only you know all the other ideas you had that never even made it to, you know, to the platform, right?
Right, right.
And so it's always going to be a living, iterating process of growing a business. And because of that, you can't fall in love with a particular idea. And even the greatest businesses in the world, I mean, not necessarily greatest in terms of, you know, moral value. I'm not making a judgment like that, but just the size of businesses, the Googles, the Facebooks, the Apples, they all turned out very differently than their founder's initial idea.
Can we talk about that too for a second, John? Because
sure.
When I think about what you just said, I see people ill-prepared for that idea. In other words, they invest so much time and so much money, for example, on a website that is sort of a snapshot in time of where they are, and that's just an example. But help us, you know, be prepared for not only the fact that business moves fast, but today we have something we didn't have 10 years ago, and that is the technology that's driving every business moving at a rapid clip and the market moving along with it.
Yes, and there are some incredible tools available to us that weren't available to us even a few years ago to get real-time market data, real-time reaction, and to test our ideas and evolve them more rapidly. I mean, it depends what kind of business you're in, right? But if you're in the online world, and that's primarily how you're marketing and distributing your product, it's a wonderful scenario. If you're going to build a real estate development today, it's still old-fashioned. You have to place some bets and hold your breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the online world, you know, just as an example, someone I would mention, I don't know if you're familiar with Eric Ries and the Lean Startup
mm-hmm.
idea. You know, Eric Ries and a guy named Steve Blank have done a lot of work to focus in on or provide tools that allow us to that allow someone to experiment and gather data early on in a process and essentially get validation from your customer base before you invest too much of your capital, too much of your precious time and resources.
And this is so much easier to do today because of technology than it was. And people can do a lot of this research in advance of ever spending a dime, and not just research in terms of books and reading, but research in terms mm-hmm. of real people saying what they like and don't like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You treat it as a mm-hmm. as an experiment.
Yeah.
Literally.
I love that. And I certainly love the fact that we can look at, you know, large multi-billion dollar successful companies, even like Google, and you think about Google Buzz, you know, that kind of
mm-hmm.
didn't buzz. And so we can see in real examples that successful companies continuously try new things. Some work, some don't. None are failures if you learn something from it. So this is so instructive. So we've gotten be honest with yourself, and then ground your business in the marketplace so you do what you love but don't necessarily fall in love with what you do. I love that. What's the third thing overall that you want to share with us here?
You know, the third basic foundation is, you know, you can be ready as a founder. You can find a market that is robust, and you could still end up not making any money because the numbers don't work. So there's a concept that we call the math story. And it's this idea that every business can be reduced to a fairly basic equation. And it doesn't require a degree in finance or a spreadsheet to understand. You know, you can think through the basic math related to your business on the back of an envelope, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially those basics of can you produce and deliver what you're selling in a way that allows you, and can you sell it at a price that allows you to make enough margin over time to generate the profit your business needs to survive? And if it's going to take you for a while, which it typically does, to actually turn a profit, how long will it take you to get there?
Mm-hmm.
And do you have enough reserve funding, you know, from whatever source to get you there? And actually getting there is probably not enough. We usually recommend if you calculate it's going to take you a year to get to a break-even, then you need 2 years worth of cushion, probably.
Right. So you probably need to double up on probably the time and the money, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's not to be pessimistic. It's just that, you know, it's amazing how we are an optimistic species, and we're a polite species. So when we ask others about our idea, they're likely going to say, hey, that's a great idea. You know, mm-hmm. I would buy it. But the reality is that, you know, people are pulled in many different directions. They have a lot of options. There's a lot of competition out there. And it just takes time to get something up and running in a way that works, typically. So, you know,
math equation that you're talking about, mm-hmm. Let's stay with that for a second, because
yes.
I think this is where people think they have to be good at math and things like that. And what I have found
right.
is that because I'm terrible at math and my math equation work has not always been on the money, but I think I do it enough to sort of be used to it now. What new people
mm-hmm.
skip that part because it's a little bit intimidating. And, John, don't you think sometimes because they don't really want to know the truth about those numbers?
That is so on target. And I suffer from this. I'm probably the world's worst
mm-hmm.
in having this gnawing, haunting feeling
mm-hmm.
that the bank balance is lower than I want it to be,
mm-hmm.
and just avoiding it.
And how do you run when you do feel that way? And
mm-hmm.
I feel that way. I think everyone who's honest would sort of say they probably feel that way, particularly early in their business. When you feel that
right.
way. Can you take us back to when you were a new entrepreneur or when you were just starting your business? How did you say to yourself, okay, I have this gnawing feeling, I'm absolutely terrified, and then
mm-hmm.
to those people out there who are listening who have families, right, so they're terrified not just for themselves, but like
right.
for four or five people.
Right.
How can you steel yourself? Because at the top of the show, we talked about how many people are starting businesses because they're what the Kauffman Foundation report called jobless entrepreneurs. So
right.
here they are in a situation where they never thought they'd want to have a business, where they feel like they need to have a business, and they're seeing all these people, there's websites popping up, everybody's got a blog, and they're looking at these people going, well, if they're doing it, why can't I do it?
Right.
You're sharing such useful things. That financial thing is so important. How can you help people sort of steel themselves, I guess get a grip so that they're ready
mm-hmm.
for this gnawing feeling, but they can still maintain the mental tenacity that they need to move past it?
Yeah, boy, that's a great question. I can speak from personal experience in terms of, you know, everybody has their own risk profile, their own, how much risk they're willing to take on and or subject their family to, you know, I think for me, the idea of having enough cushion or some kind of fallback in terms of thinking through if things don't go as well as possible, or if the best case scenario doesn't happen, what does that look like? And really getting out a sheet of paper and doing the math on that.
What does
that
look
sense?
Like? Okay, yes, and talking
yep.
that over with the people you live with as well, who may have
yes,
to get
exactly.
a job at the local coffee shop to make up for what the business isn't bringing in for a while.
Yes, or does, you know, what do I need to make? And what do I expect in terms of projected sales if I take these steps based on some decent, a decent understanding of the market I'm getting into, but then taking the next step, which is let's not just look at best case projections, let's look at worst case projections, and how would I, if I felt I was going to sell, 500 units this year, what would happen if I only sold 100 units this year? And how would I adapt? What would be my plan B, plan C? And if, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just sort of thinking along with you, what are my options and what is my fallback position, and will I just keep trying again or will I take a break? I mean, all these things have to be considered. John, can you share what you think as we analyze all these things as startup businesses, John? How important is it for us to be connected to other small business owners who are making these same decisions and analyses on a day-to-day basis that you're talking about?
Well, I think it's incredibly vital, essential to be connected with other people who are starting businesses, others who have been down the path and are looking back from a place, they can look back and remember when they were in your shoes. So first of all, resources such as yourself and your platform are incredibly valuable. But I think you're talking about, day-to-day, week-to-week relationships with people who are going through the same and similar situation. And, it's not only just moral support, ideas, and, intellectual support, but it's also, often you find amazing synergies and partnerships with people. I'm in situations now where I'm bartering with other business owners, providing some consulting to them, and they're providing certain services to my firm. And I mean, it's an amazing both learning process and a value creation process that's, would never happen.
It's so wonderful, too. Just for me, I'll just speak from my interaction with you. Just knowing, as I was preparing for the show today, that I've known you for a year, and I have seen your book come out. I remember when we first talked, you were in the middle of writing it. We're connected through another small business owner who's doing amazing things. Just that sort of knowledge makes me feel as though I'm part of a community, even though I rarely talk to Pam. I haven't talked to you in a year, but I still feel as though this conversation is a part of a continuation of a network, a relationship that it's just empowering. It just feels good to know that that's there. So I encourage people wherever you are to take John's advice and make sure that you are connected with people. And also, if you get a chance to talk with John, make sure your radio show is longer than 30 minutes, because you're going to want to go longer than me. And we're already out of time, if you can believe that. So, John, tell us, where do we go to get more information about you and your new book?
Well, thank you. It's www.readyfounder.com. Simply Ready Founder.
Right. And we can get your speaking information, some media information about you. We can click through and purchase your book there, and we can learn everything we need to know about John and where to go to get more of him, right?
That's right. There's also a personality tool we just developed, we're excited about, available through that website.
Okay, great.
And just a lot of tools and services. So I really appreciate you having me on today, and look forward to the next step in this relationship.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. And for those of you who are on Twitter, you can also follow John on Twitter at John Bradbury, spelled just like a berry, B-E-R-R-Y, John Bradbury on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us. I want you guys to know that next week, April 4th, I've got Carol Ross, the author of The Entrepreneur Equation, Evaluating the Risks, Realities, and Rewards of Having Your Own Business. That's right here on April 4th, 2011, at Indie Business Podcast. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.